Welcome to the Pro Se Divorce Podcast, where you can learn how to turn mediocre mediations into major successes. My name is Tom Davis, and I'm a certified professional divorce mediator in Denver, Colorado. I've helped thousands of clients over the past two decades reach success rates and outcomes that are significantly higher than what is typical. In each episode, I will share valuable insights, practical skills, and tools you can utilize right away to improve your mediation outcomes. And I'll serve as your guide through the potentially confusing process of divorce. Better days are coming, starting now. Welcome. This is tip one in our series, our 10 tip series. This one's about clarifying goals with my proprietary outside-in method of assessing and reframing mediation goals for success. If you have good clarity on what's important to you, your success in mediation can be a reality. Today's topic is about getting clarity on your internal goals versus your external goals. Couples who do not work this out at all or work it out incorrectly will have more difficulty in the negotiations, and the mediations can even be completely compromised. So let's define things a bit more. An internal goal is tethered to an internal value, and an external goal is tethered directly to something in the physical world. Confusing these two can lead to limited outcomes and rapidly ramp up the potential for unnecessary conflict. So let's spend a little time with each to get a little better understanding of the difference. Let's start with external goals, as this is where most people naturally think of outcomes and how I normally start with folks in the mediation when they come in. Examples of external goals could be, I want to keep the marital home. I am not paying any spousal maintenance. I'm getting 50-50 parenting time, or I'm leaving the mediation. Okay, sometimes parties justify these external goals by attaching them to internal goals to legitimize them. Some examples of that might sound like, I need to keep our marital home because I want to provide stability for the children. Or I'm not paying any spousal maintenance because it's not fair. Or I'm getting 50-50 parenting time since I'm just as important to you to them. The problem with framing your goals around external things is that it removes flexibility in the solutions and reduces the outcomes to more of a win-lose option where only one of you can realistically achieve that goal. One of you is going to get the marital home and one of you is not, for example. You will either pay or not pay spousal maintenance, and you will either get 50-50 parenting time or you won't. This converts the topic into a limited resource, and that's worth fighting for. You can analyze your goals using my proprietary outside-in method to shift the negotiation in a more beneficial direction. Outside-in is the word outside for external goals and inside for internal goals. So evaluate your goals using the outside approach to see if you have a problematic external goal in your hands. O stands for ownership. Does the goal involve exclusive ownership or control over assets where only one party benefits, such as who gets the house? U is for unilateral. Does the goal favor one party's interest over the other, leading to a one-sided outcome? T, is it tangible? The goal is focused on a specific physical asset or monetary amount, like the dividing of property or finances. S, is the goal subjective? Is the goal attached to a personal belief or internal value or emotion, such as needing the home for the children's stability, even though there are other solutions that could also provide that stability? I is for inflexible. Is the goal rigid and offers little room for compromise, leading to a more adversarial stance? D, is it divisive? The goal creates division or conflict between the parties, making it harder to reach a mutually beneficial agreement? And E, is it exclusive? The goal is exclusive if it means that one party directly gains results at the other party's loss. So the goal of I must keep the marital home could qualify as an external goal using the outside evaluation. It is unilateral, potentially subjective, it's inflexible, potentially divisive, and potentially exclusive. External goals create win-lose positions that form quote-unquote hills that people will die on in a negotiation. All right, so now let's define what are internal goals and what they look like using the inside approach. So INSIDE stands for I for Inclusive. The goal considers the needs and interests of both parties, aiming for a solution that benefits everyone involved. N, is it negotiable? The goal is open to discussion and can be adjusted or redefined to accommodate the party's needs. S, is it sustainable? The goal is focused on long-term well-being and stability for all involved rather than immediate or short-term interests. I, is it impartial? The goal is fair and balanced, ensuring neither party is unfairly disadvantaged. D, is it divisible? The goal allows for shared or cooperative solutions where the resources or responsibilities can be divided in a way that benefits both parties. And E, is it equitable? The goal is focused on fairness and ensuring that both parties walk away with a sense of balance and fairness. So an internal goal might sound something like, I want to share the equity in our home fairly, and I want us both to have a reasonable home for us to raise our children in. This goal focuses on the ultimate outcome and less on exactly how the goal is achieved. This leaves many potential options open for discussion, and so there is no quote-unquote hill to die on. Go through everything that's important to you, write it down using this outside-in method, and make a clear distinction between what is an internal or external goal before the mediation. Try to move as many goals into the external goal model using the outside-in approach, and be really honest and critical of your goals that come up as external to see if you really are wanting to be fair. Many people will use external goals as a negotiation tactic to signal that they're not flexible and there's no other option but to give in to their demands. Make sure this isn't you if you want the most out of the mediation process. Let's look at an example of using the outside-in method to shift a goal that starts out as an external goal and move it to the internal goal category. The kids need stability, so I need the home since I was the primary caregiver, and it would limit the disruption to the children. Okay, that one's packed with a bunch of outside characteristics. This could be unpacked as the following core concerns. I'm concerned about the children's stability. The children are used to me as the primary caregiver, and I don't want to change that. Could also mean that there is some internal thoughts that are represented there that are not actually communicated, such as, I also don't want the disruption of relocating myself, or I am largely responsible for creating this home, and I'm not eager to give it up. So if you properly identify what's really going on there and articulate them using the INSIDE approach, you could arrive at something more like this. I accept there will be some disruption to the children's lives, but I want to minimize it and instead focus on helping them to adjust and recover to their new circumstances. Or we should establish our new normals as soon as possible so we can give the children the best stability in both homes. Or our children should see both of their parents doing well, not just one of us. Or in the past, I know I was the primary caregiver and you were the primary breadwinner, and that both of us might need to adjust since our roles are changing. And this, one of the ways that I always evaluate things is, how does it sound if you flip it around, right? So if you, you know, and I use this process for everything in life, essentially, if I'm confronted with an ideology or a offer or, you know, something like that, and I'm trying to figure out, is it good? I flip it around and say, does it work the other way? And if it does, then it's really worth exploring. But as soon as I flip it around, it becomes insanely unfair to you, then I know it was unfair to me as well. And so this is one of the characteristics built into the outside-in method. And does it sound tough to do? You bet it is. This is why if you don't get yourself clarified and positioned before you go to the mediation, it can cost you. And it can be really next to impossible to perform these things in a live negotiation. Without a plan of action, you'll most likely just plant your flag on the hill and fight for it. And then this is based on the thousands of disputants that precede you anyway. I'm not saying that's what you'll do, but that's just what people do. And so your negotiations can quickly be reduced to fighting for exclusive options that leave no room for success. That will escalate the conflict, create more emotional wounds for yourself and your children. So to help you work through this, I'm sharing here my proprietary outside-in method of mediation goal assessment and reframing for success. I put it in a worksheet, and it's available for download from my website. In the show notes, you'll see the link for that. If you need help framing up your goals before mediation, this is a great use of the private caucus with the mediator, and the mediator can help you better position and reframe those for a better class of success and a better chance of success. After you've clarified, refined, and you feel pretty good about your goals, you might want to then prioritize them, because you can't most likely get everything you want. Mediation is about compromise, and typically there's not enough options for everybody to get everything that they wanted, so you have to prioritize. So you may want to assign arbitrary priorities to your internal goals, because you may have to make a choice at some point. If two goals can't be achieved and you got to pick one, it's good to have pre-thought out which is most important to you. It's a good way to center yourself before you negotiate, to provide for what's going to be more important to you in 5 or 10 years. Usually, healthier children win out over who gets the house or the whatever in the short run. The kids usually win out in the long run if you care about their futures. It also prepares you mentally that you may not get everything, and sets your expectations for compromise so that you, while you may not get everything, you can hope to get more of what is important to you by focusing on the things that are of a higher priority. And if you have to give something up, give it up from items that are lower on your priority than ones that are higher. There was a client of mine who many years ago demanded that she keep the house, which was quite large, for herself and their two young children. Her rationale was partially rooted in that she was the primary caregiver and did not have the career. This meant that she didn't believe that it was right to begin any type of vocational training and starting to, you know, put in the long hours of trying to secure employment and advance herself, as it meant their children would be in daycare while she, quote, worked her ass off, just so she could not be with her children. This required a very significant amount of spousal maintenance in order to support this, and she had used mostly external goals as her strategy. The husband was struggling with this and this approach, and the parties were nearly at an impasse, and it was headed to court. So there were a number of issues with this proposal, and I asked her to try to reframe them and make them internal goals, but she was unable to do so. Again, it's really tough to do in the moment. And so I took a different approach. So I asked her, let's say you get everything you want. Let's suppose everything you've asked for, you get the house, the maintenance, no expectation to establish a career until the kids are out of the high school. I asked how long that would be that she would need this arrangement. And she said at least 6 years. I then asked her to describe on year 7, how she planned to begin to establish and secure a sustainable career that paid the near $15,000 a month pre-tax amount that was needed to support her living expenses, which the house was a healthy portion of it. She didn't really understand, you know, how that was going to happen just yet, but she'd quote unquote figure it out. Fair enough. I pointed out that spousal maintenance was only expected to last for another 4 years from that time, and then she would have to do all this with no child support or spousal maintenance, and all the responsibility would hit her all at once, because kids are grown, they age out of child support, the maintenance ran out around, you know, 4 years after that. So at that point, she would have no financial aid, not be in a place where she has secured sustainable and sizable employment, and she could find herself at the age of 54 with no support, possibly home foreclosed on with no solid means or a plan of income, no means of supporting herself, and if the hopes of remarrying another suitor to support her failed, she'd be in a real mess. It's a little dramatic, but it is not unrealistic, and it is very irresponsible to not consider. I said there's also risk in placing the sole or the majority of the responsibility for your own survival on another person, in this case, her husband, who could meet with an unfortunate suicide where life insurance wouldn't pay. A scenario, dramatic you may say, but ripped from the pages of reality more often than most people know. Instead, I inquired, what if you reduced your standard of living voluntarily, sold the current home, and each purchased more affordable homes, and the additional spousal maintenance could be applied to education or starting a business instead of spent on standard of living? Then your long-term risk could be reduced, your stress level would be reduced, your future self would be much more provided for. It didn't take her but a few minutes to reframe her goals in this context, and the party settled on a way more reasonable scenario quickly after that. Now, I received a call from her somewhere about 5 years later when she called to thank me. She had started a real estate business, which offered her flexibility with the children and would benefit her in her future home upgrade ambitions. She said that she felt so much better taking more responsibility for her life under more manageable terms, and that she'd mostly wanted the higher maintenance and all that because she didn't understand how she was going to take care of it, and was basically, she did not have a plan, and thus she wanted this. And she said that she still found it shocking to her that she asked for all those things during the mediation and didn't really know why. Other than that, she said, it just seemed expected that I should do that. She said, I'm so grateful for you helping me reframe to what was a more valuable direction and outcome. This is the power of making sure you're fighting for the right goals, and my outside-in method of mediation goals, evaluation, and reframing worksheet is yours to download from my website to help you evaluate and frame your goals. Analyzing those goals with the inside and outside methods can make a big difference in your outcomes and successes, and making sure you have success with the right outcomes. All right, in our next episode, we'll review pre-mediation disclosures and why you need them. By providing the mediator with valuable information prior to the mediation, you help the mediator more quickly identify areas of potential agreement, areas of conflict, and make the mediation more efficient and less expensive. Yet another way you can nudge your mediation toward costing less and being more successful. All right, thank you for your time and attention today. You are one step closer to better outcomes that will last the rest of your life. This has been Tom Davis. Thank you for joining me today. Remember to protect every accomplishment you make together, and that setbacks are just wins in the making. Stay positive. The Pro Se Divorce Podcast is a production of Family Synergy Mediation. The information in these podcasts are opinions only and should not be considered legal advice. Visit myfamilymediation.com to learn more.